We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
3:01 as we slide into the 3 o'clock hour. Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, Chris Ello en route to the pit.
Is that where Keith Van Horn played?
No, he played Utah.
Dang it. Whatever happened to him? He was the guy for a while.
He had a nice career. Nets.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Keith Van Horn, he could hoop. He used to kill them. This is when the Aztecs were... They were starting the build.
Was
right?
It in the WAC?
No.
Or was it the Mount West?
Okay. Van Horn was there, if I'm not.
Let me see. I don't know why I just thought about
it's
Keith
all
Van
started,
Horn.
It's starting to like all run together. It felt like Van Horn might have been there when I was in school, or what year was he there?
He was there at Utah 1993 to 97.
Oh, no, I definitely wasn't this.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was the second overall pick by the Sixers.
It all blended together. Sixers and then the Nets.
Yeah, and then so he played for the Nets, then the Sixers, then the Knicks, the Bucks, and then the Mavericks.
He had a nice career. How many years did he play?
97 through 06, so 9 seasons or so.
Yeah.
It was the WAC at the time.
Well, I was about to say, once you said 93 to 96, yeah, that's definitely the WAC.
He's a four-time first-team all-whacker.
All-whacker.
He's an all-whacker.
First freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior year.
Oh, man, that is crazy. He was on the NBA all-rookie first team as well. So, yeah, I remember him being on the cover of a video game. And I remember him in college for sure.
How did we get to that? What made you ask me about Jeff?
Because I was confused about if Keith Van Horn was a New Mexico guy or a...
Keith Van Horn. I said Jeff.
Oh. If he was either a Ute or if... Or I thought he was playing for New Mexico. Chris is at the pit.
I could see how that can kind of get confusing. Now, you do have a Daily Gambit lined up for us. Chris, as I said, is en route. Plane finally landed. He's on his way.
He sounds panicked.
He does sound panicked. And it's completely unnecessary. Scraby and I got this, but he's going to jump on when he is available. Scraby, let's get to some Daily Gambit stuff.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwynn and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwynn and Chris. Next week, we are going to get into heavy Super Bowl betting because this week we need to save everything for next. We already did kind of like the coin toss talk for the Super Bowl betting, but the rest of it is going to be next week.
Yeah, you don't get anything but the coin toss talk.
Yeah. We're going to do the whole, like, which Gatorade color is going to be poured over the winner.
That's why this week of the sporting world sucks, right?
It's the worst.
We're not talking any NFL.
No.
Unless we were talking coin flip.
Yeah.
And not a whole lot going on. So,
a little bit later in the show, we're going to go over the MLB odds or the over-under numbers for number of wins for Major League Baseball teams. So we went over the Padres and the rest of the NL West. We're going to do that at 5:20. But today, let's just get into it because we don't have any bets from last night. San Diego State is playing tonight, the men's basketball team, and they are at home. They are playing the Boise State Broncos, and they are 6-point favorites in this game, Tony.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Aztecs looking to bounce back after a tough loss at Nevada. They'll be doing it against Boise, who, you know, this is a battle for first place, isn't it, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, I mean, let me just make sure, but we've been talking about it for all week, really.
Yeah, Boise had their number last year. Not once, as Chris said, not twice, but three times they took the Aztecs down.
That's a good point.
This is hopefully a game that can.
It is. They're both 8-2 in the conference.
Yeah, this is a game they're looking to kind of get back on track after a tough loss. And as I said yesterday, they didn't play poorly. I thought Nevada hit some tough shots, as we talked with J.D. Luster, but they do need they do want to bounce back and not let this linger.
Yeah, I think the Aztecs are going to cover this as well. They can't afford to lose another conference game and to the same team. I mean, Boise State has their number, but I think tonight it changes. Now, the other bet I want to talk about before we get into LeBron scoring bets is what the odds are for the NL West in 2023. Everybody has the Padres being one of the top teams on the World Series list, on the playoff list. The Los Angeles Dodgers are the favorite in the NL West, according to the odds on FanDuel, minus 140. They are the odds-on favorites, and then the Padres plus 140. And then you got plus 1,200 for the Giants, plus 4,000 for the Diamondbacks, and then good old Rockies, plus 15,000. You know, I've heard that's a 500 odds right there, is plus 15,000.
As Chris Ello has schooled us a lot of times, the folks that put these bets, they're predicting what they think people are going to bet the most on.
Yes.
The Dodgers have won the conference, the division, a lot of times, not necessarily in a row. They've only won it once in a row because the Giants were able to win the division.
Oh, I
year
forgot
before.
About that.
But they've won it, what is it, like 8 out of 9, 9 out of 10,
years.
Right?
A lot of years.
You could see why. You know, even though the Dodgers lost a ton, right? You lose both Turners, you lose Bellinger, you lose Anderson. So they've lost a lot, but a lot of people are still going to bet that the Dodgers are going to be the team to beat.
I agree. I agree that, but
I agree with that. I don't agree with that thought, though.
That they're going to win the NL West. I'm going to put money on the Padres at plus 140.
Plus 140, what is that? You got to put down 140 to get 100?
Yes. No. You put down 100 to get 140.
140. Yeah. Okay. I'm getting there.
Yeah, you are. Plus 15,000, though, for the Rockies. Terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. We talked to Patrick Saunders the other day. It sounds like Rockies fans are ready to revolt on their
I tell
team
you what,
owner.
Man. Rocky fans, despite all that they've gone through, they show up to those Rocky games, man. Jesse and I are amazed a lot of times that.
Well, it's a great ballpark. Denver's a great city.
They definitely come to support.
All right, LeBron James has a points record
best
that he is going to break.
Best bet in that division?
Diamondbacks?
Yeah.
Plus 4,000?
Plus 4,000.
If it's not the Padres, it's the Diamondbacks?
I mean, the Padres, you still got to bet $100 to win 140. I'm just saying in terms of your...
Oh, best value for your
value,
bet?
Yeah,
100 to win 4,000, I think that qualifies as good value.
That's a good value.
Might be worth taking a flyer.
But
this comes into my superstitions as well, because I said last week I can't do prop bets or anything on players or teams that are facing my team. So I guess I couldn't ever do the Diamondbacks.
No, you couldn't.
I couldn't. LeBron James' points record bets are out, and they have a prediction, or they have odds on when he's going to do it. Now, they play tomorrow against the Pelicans in New Orleans. That's a plus 20,000. They don't really think that's going to happen.
He was asked if he had 60-plus points in him for tomorrow. And he responded by saying, yeah, I do.
Oh, well, of course he does. Of course he does.
He said, but I don't know if it'll be tomorrow.
He has, I believe, 62 points until he ties the record. And then once he, obviously, he goes over that, the odds for that, they're thinking.
Now, Chris asked me yesterday or 2 days ago, you know, why not have him knock it out then? And I was like, I don't know how I feel about that. That would mean he broke Kobe's record for.
Oh, yeah. That's not going to happen, though.
But now, he's under 80, You know, have at it.
If he needs 63, go for it.
A lot of guys get 63.
I mean, if he gets 63 in this game, plus 20,000.
It would be pretty ridiculous and a good bet to put down because he could do it.
They're also saying February 7th, the 2 games from now against the Thunder at home is plus 250. They're saying it could happen, but it's not likely to happen.
I would take that. Because they play at the Thunder at home, and then they're back on the road, right?
And they play Thunder home, Milwaukee home, and then they go on the road.
So he's getting it done in one of the, my guess is in one of those two home games.
Well, the Milwaukee February 9th game is minus 190, so the favorite on this list.
I'd take that plus 220.
I mean, I don't see him getting past three games to score 62
so
points,
he needs
right?
62, he's averaging. So if he puts up, let's say he puts up a 35 spot or 40. Tomorrow, is it tonight? No, tomorrow against the Pelicans.
Yeah. Then he only has to have 20, 23 points or whatever, and he could do it in the second game.
You better take those odds.
He's averaging.
He's averaging 30.
He's averaging 30. 30.1 points per game. So you would have to take that three games.
Even if he got to 30 tomorrow, that'll leave him with 32 to get in the following game. You telling me?
I think he could do it for
sure. That's what I'm saying. If I'm a betting, I'm taking the
odds. You're a value guy today.
I'm taking the Thunder, Thunder game.
All right, plus 250 for that. Now, how is it going to happen? Is it going to be a dunk?
No.
Is it going to be a free throw? Is it going to be a three-pointer? Is it going to be a layup? Is it going to be another? I don't know what another is, but a technical foul maybe?
It would be sweet if it's a dunk. Right, if we get the LeBron James like kind of the dunk that he does, but my guess is going to be on a mid range. It's going to be on a jumper.
Oh, I guess that could just be the jumper. The other is the jumper at plus 380. Layup is the favorite at plus 145.
I mean, that's how he gets most of his buckets. But I could see that one happening on a jumper.
Is he not dunking a lot this year? Because it's saying that the dunk is the least likely thing to happen.
It's
according
just
to
every,
the odds.
Every time he goes and I mean, because. Really, the only time he gets to dunk is on breakaways because there's usually like four people in front of him somehow.
That is true.
He's usually like bodying three or four just to
just
get the
shivering
layup
everyone as he goes by. In which quarter will he score his points? So if you're going to say the Oklahoma City game, it's got to be what? Fourth quarter of the Oklahoma City
I'm
game?
I'm saying fourth.
Fourth quarter is the odds on favorite.
Which is
plus
better,
200.
Right? Because now you're locked into watching the whole game because.
You want to see,
you
want to
see him get there.
Yeah, that's true. You don't want him to get like need like
three points
in
the
next
game.
Right? That's gonna, lame.
Although for him, it probably would be good, right? He's not. He gets that
not
out.
Worried
the,
about
he
it.
Gets that out the way early in that game, and then festivities take place, and then boom. Because you imagine they're going to stop the game, right? Do you really want that to happen in the fourth quarter of a close game? At that point, like
no.
You
no.
probably want that to be done.
It's going
to
be, what, like a 10-minute delay maybe?
At least.
Of him taking pictures. And
I guess it depends on how long he wants. Because if he wants to get back to business, he could always cut it short. But I have a feeling if it's done at home, Kareem's going to be there.
How does Kareem feel about this?
I think it seems like he's softened up a little
bit. Okay.
Because there was a lot of talk that, you know, I remember them asking Magic, and he was like, he's probably not going to take it well. He seems to have at least indicated that, you know, he's waiting for it to happen at the very least. So,
well, I mean, he has to at this point.
No, I guess
there's no other choice.
It's going to be
like that movie Celtic Pride where they kidnap Damon Wayans.
He's been critical of LeBron.
Has he on
some of the social? I think he was critical of the Spider-Man COVID thing that he had posted. You know, two Spider-Man. The meme that was going around. And so.
Kareem has interesting thoughts too.
Kareem has been a little prickly sometimes. You know, he hasn't always been. He's also another one of those dudes who says exactly what he's feeling.
He does.
There's no sugarcoat. He's been like that his entire, you know, the life that we've known of Kareem. He's been like that the whole time. So it'll be nice to see it done and get and all that happen. I mean, this is a record, I think. That really goes up there with, like, the home run record. Like, this was a record we didn't think would be broken.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, if Michael Jordan didn't break this record, then
then
who was going to break this record? And it's LeBron James.
It was interesting. It was Wilt, right? Wilt had his broke. Kareem was the guy. And then you've seen guys get inside of Wilt and Kareem, right? You've seen Karl Malone. You've seen Michael Jordan. You've seen Kobe Bryant, LeBron James. You've seen some guys move inside that number, but LeBron's going to be the first one that actually catches Kareem and will push that lead out a little bit further because it doesn't seem like he's done.
Our generation is...
We've seen some...
Anybody alive watching sports right now, we've seen two of the greatest players of all time. Tom Brady.
100%.
LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan.
We caught the tail end of what was the greatest players, you know, Montana to Brady.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jordan to LeBron. Or
who
Jordan
would you say
to
for
Kobe
baseball?
To LeBron. I mean, it's all Barry Bonds. I mean, I don't know. I don't care what anybody says. This dude we saw Ken Griffey Jr.
That's true.
Before that, it was Ted Williams, Willie Mays. Before that, Babe Ruth.
And the NHL, we have Sidney Crosby, Ovechkin. I don't think those are as strong.
Gretzky's still probably...
He's way ahead in a lot.
He's still the dude, right?
Yeah.
But you think about it. We just named off about, I don't know, 8 different guys that are considered GOATs.
Some of the best in their sports.
And we've seen them in our lifetime.
We are pretty lucky. We are really
sports
lucky.
Sports has been good to us.
And I said yesterday when you, if because that player intercepted Tom Brady's last interception and he kept it and everything, and then he was going to tell his grandchildren about it, it's going to be cool that I'm going to be like, yeah, I watched Tom Brady's
100%.
Entire career.
Right?
And I tell you how many times I called him noodle arm on 97.3.
You know what the cold part is?
What?
When you are like 75, 80.
They're not going to care. It's going to be like Johnny Unitas.
There's going to be some new dude out there doing things as like.
Brock Purdy.
It's not going to be Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy doesn't have an arm right now, so.
No.
Yeah.
Quite crazy. quite crazy. All right.
And that's it for the Daily Gambit. And then next week, we're going to get heavy into it, as I said.
All right. Let's get into a break when we come back. What, you got some Super Bowl joints?
Yes, I have some Super Bowl joints.
Bowl, like, factoids?
Yeah, it's not really factoids. It's more of, like, who they ranked who the best quarterback is in the Super Bowl, in Super Bowl history, according to certain, like, metrics and all that stuff. So I thought it was a pretty good list. So.
All right, we'll get into it.
I mean, it's Fun Friday.
It is Fun Friday.
Yeah.
So you get these fun facts. More Gwen and Chris on the way.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
.323 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, Chris Ello joining us shortly, I think. Maybe.
We'll see.
Possibly.
I think he's running there right now.
Oh, like. There's no question he's running there, for sure. We would normally have all three of us on this next thing, and actually, it's not. We hopefully will have all three of us in the next segment. We got our countdown coming your way.
It's a good one. Tony had a good
idea.
It
is. I came up with this last week. I'm going to keep you on the edge of your seats in terms of figuring out what that is. But I came up with it last week. It's something that I have noticed as I've gotten older. And it has many times disappointed me, I must say.
Disappointed you?
Yeah. Well, I'll explain when we get to that next segment. But first... Scraby's got some little factoids for us in terms of rankings of the all-time quarterbacks in Super Bowl history.
Yes, and here are the metrics that they judge them by. Number of appearances. I mean, we all know who is number one, so we don't even need to go over that. Tom Brady. Number two metric, performance in Super Bowls, MVPs won, record set, significance of performance, strength of opponent. So honorable mention, I was hoping Chris was back for this because Bob Greasy got an honorable mention for being a two-time Super Bowl championship. First quarterback to start in three consecutive Super Bowls.
Bob Greasy.
The OG Greasy. The OG Greasy. He is an honorable mention on this list, but I forgot that the Dolphins were so good back in the day. I forgot how good they were. Three consecutive Super Bowls, that's pretty good.
No recollection.
No recollection of myself, from myself either. I don't even remember, I guess, before this year, when the heck were they in the playoffs? I can't even remember.
It was the time they got thumped. I know that. I think it was Dan Marino's last, I think.
That was the last time they were in the playoffs? I think they made it in, like, the 2000s. Maybe when Greg Camarillo's team made it to the playoffs, but
Chris
anyway.
Would be the better person to ask on that one.
I know. Let's just ask the Dolphin and see what it says.
Nothing.
No answer.
Nothing.
Sorry, Dolphin. Stupid Dolphin. Ben Roethlisberger, the 15th best quarterback in Super Bowl history. He is a two-time Super Bowl champion. He is. He did lose one of those Super Bowls, but the game-winning drive that he led against the Cardinals in Super Bowl 33, I believe, when he let it down, it was like a 90-yard drive, and it was Santonio Holmes in the corner of the end zone.
With the tippy toes.
With the tippy toes. Now, I'm surprised that he's only at 15th, because if you're going to rate on historical significance, I think more people remember this catch than a lot of other moments in the Super Bowl.
Is it just historical significance?
No, it was those other things. MVPs once.
Yeah, I mean, so you gotta weigh that. He went to, what, two Super Bowls?
Three.
Three Super Bowls. One, two?
Two.
Okay. We'll see. I got to see who's inside of him.
Phil Simms. He holds, he's the MVP of a Super Bowl. So I guess Ben Roethlisberger was never an MVP that I'm seeing. But Phil Simms is number 14. He holds the Super Bowl record for highest single game completion percentage. I don't really think that is that big of a deal. I mean, you could throw.
Phil Simms is 14 Ben Roethlisberger?
Yeah. This here, this next one is offensive. It's Steve Young of the 49ers at number 13.
It's offensive.
It's offensive. He holds the Super Bowl record for single game passing TDs in the Super Bowl. He threw six
in
1995. He threw a lot
really
of them
count?
Too. Yes, it counts.
Just saying.
Six touchdowns, a lot of touchdown passes. All right, number 12, Super Bowl III MVP, Joe Namath. It was the...
He did predict they were going to win.
He did, and it was the greatest upset in Super Bowl history, some may say, over Johnny Unitas. And they were 20-point underdogs in that game. That's a lot of
so
points.
So it clearly... Yeah, so they're weighing quite a few different things, because Unitas only got to... He only won the one Super Bowl, correct?
I couldn't tell you.
I mean,
honest.
Not Unitas.
Namath?
Namath.
I believe so. I believe he does. Yeah. I'm quickly...
Pretty sure that's accurate.
All right.
Nevertheless, go ahead.
All right. The next quarterback on the list is Jim Plunkett of the Raiders. He's a two-time Super Bowl champion. He was also Super Bowl 15 MVP.
So the MVPs give you
gives you a nice boost. Yeah,
nice
it gives
boost.
You a lot of points. Kurt Warner, number 10. He was the Super Bowl 34 MVP. He started in three Super Bowls for two different teams, and he was the first quarterback to throw for 400 yards in the Super Bowl. He was significant in the Super Bowl, Kurt Warner, for the Rams and the Cardinals.
Kurt Warner came out of nowhere and then was, like, one of the greatest.
Yeah, he literally... isn't the story that he was a bagger at a grocery store? Or he worked at a grocery store?
Something
and then
along
he
those
he
lines.
Was able to get into arena football, but it's one of those things, like, if you're Kurt Warner... You got a good script going into the NFL. You got a really good script.
He wasn't even a part of the scripting at first anyway.
No, they're like, you know what? We're going to make this guy a star.
They just decided to cast him in all of a sudden.
I've been thinking about the scripting more and more, and it's so ridiculous because you still have to complete the pass, and you still have to throw it.
It's 1,000% ridiculous. The more you think about it and the more you saw the memes pop up, it made it more evident how ridiculous that idea is.
It really is. Like, because you still have to make the plays.
I played a sport my whole life, competing and letting the chips, and now all of a sudden you're going to tell me I have to, like, not break on the ball, not catch a pass. Like,
you're telling me the Super Bowl catch was done on first try? Like,
right.
What?
Right.
The
right.
The helmet catch.
Like, you just decided to... Catch it on the helmet. That's amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing. Peyton Manning, number 9 quarterback on the list. Colts and Broncos, 2-time Super Bowl champion. He went to 4. He lost 2. He won 2. He was the Super Bowl MVP of 51. And he is the first starting quarterback to win Super Bowls with 2 teams. So he is number 9 on the list. I'm glad that Peyton got at least 2 because it was looking bad for him for a while.
It felt like he was never going to beat Tom Brady.
Never,
never. It really felt like that. That was part of the reason why at first I didn't like Tom.
Because he was just holding back everyone?
He was just holding back everybody. Peyton, who had reinvented, like, play calling and all these things he brought to us.
He was the first quarterback to, like, change at the line.
He was just getting dogged.
Yeah. Barr is the number 8 quarterback, 2-time Super Bowl champion, 2-time Super Bowl MVP, so that's a pretty big deal. Roger Staubach. Staubach? Staubach?
Yeah. Staubach.
Cowboys, 2-time Super Bowl champion, went to 4, lost 2. He was the MVP of Super Bowl 6. Eli Manning ranks ahead of his brother, Peyton. He's a 2-time Super Bowl champion. He's a 2-0 record, 2-time Super Bowl MVP as well.
Gotta do it. Those MVPs, man.
Yeah, those MVPs must be worth, like, if we're just saying
they're the best player in
the game.
In the game.
In the championship game. Of the biggest game of the year. And we all know what Eli Manning did. He beat the Patriots that were undefeated, and then he beat Tom Brady again years later. So that was pretty, I mean, if you're Eli Manning, you got to just smile about that for the rest of eternity. You're the only guy who tamed Tom Brady.
Well, you know it drives Tom Brady nuts. So That's fun. That's a fun card to have in your back pocket.
Oh, yeah. Number 5 on the list, Troy Aikman. 3-time Super Bowl champion. He went 3 times. He was the Super Bowl 27 MVP. 70% career Super Bowl completion percentage. And he is the first quarterback to win 3 in 4 years. So that's pretty important as well. Number 4 is John Elway. 2-time Super Bowl champion. Super Bowl 33 MVP. 5 Super Bowl starts. I don't consider John Elway higher than, say, an Eli or a Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman won an extra Super Bowl. John Elway went to 5. Troy Aikman was the MVP of 1 of them.
I don't know. I don't know.
I guess maybe the number of times you've been there.
Is the opponent.
Yeah, the opponent matters. Is one of them.
They faced a really good Green Bay team the first time. I can't remember, or one of the times.
They
beat Brett Favre. I can't remember who Elway got the other one against. They beat Green Bay once. Who was the other one they beat?
Wasn't he here in San Diego?
One of them was here.
Was it the Bucks? No, that was the Bucks Raiders.
No.
God, my brain does not work. That was me.
Elway got the 3 Super Bowls, right?
No, he got the 5.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's why he got the 5 Super Bowls.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean... I mean, he lost a lot of them, so...
He lost three of them.
He has an under 500 record.
But still, he got the 5.
I know. Now, here's... I know these
figure
ones...
out who the other Super Bowl win was against?
I was going to continue to research as we were talking, but Terry Bradshaw, 4-time Super Bowl champion, 4-0 record, 2-time MVP, first 300-yard passer of the Super Bowl, first to throw 4 touchdowns, had Super Bowl completions... of 75, 73, 64, 53, and 47 yards. And in the fourth quarter in the Super Bowl, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. I would say that's pretty darn good.
I agree. Not much you're going to do to get past Mr. Bradshaw. It's only going to be a couple guys get ahead of him, right?
Yeah.
Bradshaw's 4?
He's 3.
3. Yeah. So who's inside of Mr. Brady and Mr. Bradshaw?
Joe Montana.
Of course.
4-time Super Bowl champion, 3-time MVP, 11 touchdowns, no interceptions.
I think the list is pretty accurate.
Except for Steve Young and where he's at.
Nope, Steve Young is in the perfect place.
He's in the perfect place. The Packers, the Falcons, we just did a trivia question on that. That's who John Elway beat, is the Falcons. And they also beat the Packers.
Oh, the Dirty Bird.
Yes. The Packers beat the Patriots in 96. In 97, they beat the Broncos beat the Packers. The Pack.
Howie.
All right. Well, this week of the Super Bowl, this dead week needs to go away. I'm done with it.
Immediately.
I mean, they need to put something else here. Third place game. I'll take it.
All right. Let's step away, get to break. When we come back, the countdown begins. And you'll find out what that is on Gwen and Chris. 3:39 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chrisello, now joining us from the. as well as Matt Scraby. Chris, how was your travel, man? I know your flight was a little delayed, but sounds like you made it there safely.
Just got here to really one of the most famous arenas, right, in all of college basketball. It's I always get excited when I get to the Pit. It makes me think back. I know it was before your guys' time, but the great 1983 Final Four when Jim Valvano's North Carolina State upset Hakeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler and the University of Houston. And it's one of the great upsets in the history of college sports, and it happened right here. So always fun to be here.
Well, you're just in time. We are getting set for our countdown. Sounds like...
is there fencing going on in the background?
You got some action going on there.
I'm up in the top row of the arena, but they're having a practice.
So
they're down on the floor hooting and hollering a little bit. So will have some... We will have some basketball practices backdrop today.
Okay.
Lovely, lovely. All right. Well, countdown. The countdown today is top five movies you thought were good, only to revisit as an adult and find out they're not nearly as good as you thought. So that's what we're going with today. You'll get a chance to hear our list, our countdown, after traffic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's now time for Gwen and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is The Countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
Into The Countdown we go. Top five movies you thought were good, but after a second or third look, maybe not as good.
Yeah,
I'll lead off the festivities here.
Okay.
Number five.
Batman and Robin.
Oh, that's a great one.
The one with Arnold Schwarzenegger in
there. Mr. Freeze.
Mr. Freeze. First time I saw it, I was pretty excited. Went and revisited it a few years back. Not so much.
Oh, yeah, that
was
a great
one. Quite disappointing for that to be the case.
Was that the one with Poison Ivy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All
yes.
Right. I know that one. Chris?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to kind of be doing these a little now on the fly. I thought we were doing top five movies that you thought were going to be good, but you hated.
Just do your list because I did the same thing, Chris.
Apparently, okay. I can't read because that's not how I read it, but never mind. It's
okay,
gone.
So I did movies that I thought were going to be good.
Yes.
And I watched maybe once and I just couldn't stand.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's kind of in the same theme, but my number five for that would be this movie that's out now. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. It's supposed to win the Academy Award this year. Every critic says it's the greatest movie they've ever seen. It's nominated for every possible award this year. I couldn't stand it. I didn't understand it. I even had Scraby watch it for me, and he tried to explain it to me, and I still didn't understand it. So I do not recommend Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, even though all the critics are recommending it.
Yeah, I did watch it. I watched the whole thing, and it was hard to follow, not going to lie. But, if you're just watching it and you're not trying to get through a story or anything, the action's good. It's kind of funny, but I don't see how it's better than Top Gun Maverick. Come on now. All right, my number five. I'm a big fan of the Indiana Jones movies, and so I was very excited when they were going to come out with the fourth Indiana Jones movie.
Coming out with the fifth now?
I believe they are, yeah. I hope they don't. They should reconsider. But Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull.
GSI, what is the computer-generated face that they do?
Oh, CGI.
CGI.
Yeah.
It was one of them letters.
I'm not into that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, no.
But Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull had all the makings to be great of, like, Indiana Jones
it's
passing off
here.
His power
yeah.
to Shia LaBeouf, and it just wasn't good. It was about, like, aliens, and it got weird at the end, and I was like, what
Very
did I
weird.
Just watch?
Very weird.
What did I just watch?
So. There's only one Indiana Jones, man. Come on. Nobody can do it like Harrison Ford.
Which one?
The first Indiana Jones.
The first
Raiders
Indiana.
Of the Lost
no,
Ark.
The Last Crusade is pretty good.
Is that the one where they
good.
Sliced the snake open and they ate snake?
I think
was that one or two?
I think number one is
one
the
is one. The one with the snakes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's my favorite one.
Why did it have to be snakes?
Why did it have to be snakes?
I love that line.
All right. Number four on my list. And as you can imagine, as we've gotten more advanced in technology, the movies that relied on tech in the 80s or 90s, if you watch them now, it's going to look a big hokey. RoboCop falls at number four for me. Yes.
I love RoboCop.
I did too. It did not do it for me the next time I watched it as an adult. It was honestly a favorite movie of mine, and I've gone back to watching it, and it doesn't give me the same feel anymore.
Wow.
RoboCop falls at number four for me.
All right. That's disappointing.
I'm sorry. I was so disappointing.
Number four for me is any movie that won the Academy Award for Best Picture that actually sucks. I would put Gandhi on that list. I would put Dances with Wolves on that
Ooh.
List.
I do like that movie. I do like
Scraby
it.
Scraby and I had a conversation yes. about that the other day. He liked it. I got tired of it after Kevin Costner sat on that hill for about an hour and a half. I thought it was time
you didn't
move
want to
the
hear
story along a little bit.
You didn't want to hear his friend Socks or whatever?
Well, not for an hour and a half.
Okay, all right.
The other one was called The Artist. That one about 10. Anyway, there's been some Academy Award winning movies that you think are going to be good because they win the Academy Award, but they're really difficult to sit through.
All right. Dances with Wolves is not on my list. What do you think about Dancing with Wolves? You're going to be the tiebreaker.
Never a fan of Dancing with Wolves.
All right, so I lose
Dancing
this
with
one.
The Wolves.
Dances with Wolves.
What's the name of the movie?
Dances with Wolves.
Yeah, see, I've never been.
Yeah,
that's his name.
If I recall, it had a good opening scene with a battle in the a battle scene.
Yes, it's like the
Civil War battle scene, and
that was the only good
scene. Yeah, Civil War battle scene. Then he rides out into the wilderness. And he sits on a plane not an airplane, but a Mesa plane, and just sits there for an hour and a half and doesn't do anything.
Well, I mean, he's in 1850. He's in 1850. What are they supposed to do?
Well, I don't know, but it didn't interest me. It's not interesting.
It's not a good movie.
No.
All right. I'm disappointed with you guys. My number four was something I remember looking forward to this movie, getting my mom to take me to the movie. Last Action Hero was one of the most...
I still love Last Action Hero.
You like that movie
yes.
still? It was one of the most disappointing movies. I didn't even know what I was watching. And I watched it maybe a year ago, and I was like, I still don't know what I'm watching. This is bad.
That might just be a nostalgia thing.
It probably is. But I was really excited about it because it had Arnold Schwarzenegger in it. This is when Arnold was like getting massive.
Let me tell you, one of my buddies growing up, his dad worked for the city. And he used to get like the pay-per-view movies like for free.
Oh, sweet.
And so that I must have watched Last Action Hero a dozen times in like a matter of like 4 or 5 days. And it was like, I loved that movie.
I was really excited.
I think it is nostalgic because I happened to actually watch that last week.
Really?
And I only was able to get through like an hour of it. And then it was like, man, this
Chris, are you,
it's not quite the same.
Are you aware of Last Action Hero?
I am aware of it, but I never saw it.
Don't worry.
It didn't interest me. Got to remember, I don't have kids, so I haven't revisited. And once I got past that age, I didn't go to too many movies that I think were made for kids.
Well, that's a good thing, Chris.
Was that movie made for kids, though? It had
explosions, and I think it was more so for teens, maybe.
It was an exaggerated movie.
It was an exaggerated superhero movie.
For sure. Number three. You've heard me reference this movie quite a bit on this show. But Dick Tracy is another movie that just doesn't do it anymore.
Really?
Yes.
What about Flat Top?
the names and the characters still do it for me, but the actual...
Yeah, the names of the characters are good. The movie itself, not so good.
The movie itself, not so good.
Yeah.
It's hard to understand why that was thought of being... a good movie, because it was a big deal when it came out.
Oh, it totally was. Wasn't it?
Was it right around the time?
Was it Beatty? What's his name? Beatty?
Yeah, you got me. I don't know. Chris? I don't know any of the characters actually in the movie because they all look weird. They were like all made
Can't
up.
Remember
and...
Flat Top? Remember?
I remember Flat Top. Al Pacino was Flat Top, I think.
Al Pacino was in that movie.
I think it was Beatty. I can't remember his
you
first name.
You keep saying Beatty like that's
Warren
gonna...
Beatty.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, Warren Beatty was Dick Tracy.
Yeah, there we go. So I was on.
Yeah, Warren Beatty. Yeah, I thought you were saying baby.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so Dick Tracy is number three on my list.
All right, Chris?
Well, number three for me is just going to be in that category of comic action book movies. I just think movie studios ought to be able to come up with a few ideas on their own. from Spider-Man to Superman to Batman to every Scarlett Johansson movie.
Black Widow,
any of them. I'm tough. I just don't care for any of those movies. I know everybody loves them. They all get, you know, multi-$1 million in box office. But I'm just jaded when it comes to those movies. I think they should remain comic books, frankly.
You just infuriated a lot of people out there.
I don't even know. My blood is kind of boiling right now.
Can you tell that I've never once been to Comic-Con? And I'm not really much of a threat to ever go.
Yeah, no,
I think Chris
can tell.
Is going to have to do a bet where he stands in Comic-Con with a sign that says, I think these movies should have stayed comic books, and see what happens.
That would go over pretty
Please
well.
Please don't
I feel
do
like
that.
Those movies are only meant to be made during this era because it's so much CGI that's needed to make the movie good. Like, you can't have Spider-Man, you know? But
no, that's right. True. That's true.
All right, number three for
the
me.
Effects, I think the effects are great. I will say the effects... In the movies that I've seen, the effects are pretty remarkable. So there.
There was a big comic book, and there still is, push in the movies. All right, my number three was supposed to be... I'm pretty sure they marketed this as the best movie that was ever made, and it's Avatar. I went to Avatar, and I was so bored by Avatar. I fell asleep in Avatar. Saw it, like, maybe a year ago. Still terrible. Can't get into it, but Avatar is my number three.
That is just brutal.
The movie?
Yes. No, okay. No. I like the movie.
Oh, you do like the movie?
I saw the new one, too.
Wow. Tony and I are not seeing eye to eye in these movies.
Gravy, I'm totally with you on this
Thank
one.
You.
You and I agree. That Avatar was... And again, once I get past the fact that they all had blue faces and funny noses and ears, it was just a normal, everyday thrill ride. It didn't have anything special as far as I was concerned.
Thank you, Chris.
Number two.
You're welcome.
The Matrix.
The Matrix, man.
It doesn't do it for me now. Now, I've watched the most recent one. I actually like the most recent one that they redid with Keanu Reeves.
I haven't seen that one yet.
It was actually pretty good. But I tried, leading up to that, I tried to go back and watch all three of the Matrix before. It's kind of like refresh the memory. One was really difficult to get through.
Really?
It was. It didn't hit home. Like I used to think Matrix was amazing.
That was a movie I think was 97 or 99,
yeah,
I believe.
Wasn't that long ago.
Something like that.
I mean, actually, it is long ago. It was 30 years.
Yeah. Chris?
Well, this category goes for any TV show that I absolutely loved that made a movie. I'm going to say, like, the Brady Bunch movie. Just any movie that tried to take a TV show and become a movie. Never works, never good. That's my number two.
Oh, so you said the what? The Brady Bunch movie?
Brady Bunch movie was awful.
That was pretty bad.
Stick to the show. There's several more, and I'm not thinking of them off the top of my
head. Like Magnum P.I. or something? All right, my number two.
Hey. Leave Magnum P.I.
Man, I am just angering Tony with all of my selections.
They got that. That's about to premiere again on NBC here.
I had no idea. My number two, the first one was great, Zoolander. But the sequel of Zoolander, Zoolander 2, was one of the worst movies I have ever seen. Zoolander is funny, but Zoolander 2 was a waste of my time. So
number one.
Yeah, this is a movie that my sister and I watched religiously. Drop Dead Fred.
I haven't even thought about that movie in a long time.
We used to love this movie. I tried to watch it. My wife and I both looked at each other and said, I can't believe that I like this movie at any point in time. It is not good.
I'm watching.
But I loved it.
It's got 11% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's bad. Not good.
Chris?
Well, my number one movie that's supposed to be good that is absolutely awful usually makes the list as the greatest movie ever made. And if you've ever seen it, I can't believe you would agree with that rating.
And Gone
the movie's
with the
called
Wind?
Citizen Kane.
Oh.
Citizen Kane is the most overrated, overhyped, long, drawn-out, boring piece of garbage I've ever seen. I don't understand. I mean, I remember hearing about it growing up. I remember shows about it. And I went, finally rented it one night, got all ready to see it, and I just couldn't stand it.
Wow. I just watched Clockwork Orange. That one's also kind of boring. But my number one is the newest movie edition of Baywatch. They really messed that up. This movie was supposed to be great with The Rock and Zac Efron and going back to the roots of Baywatch. And it was one of the worst movies I've ever seen. I couldn't even get through it.
As Chris said, some shows are left to be shows. They're meant to be shows.
Better to be TV
and that
shows.
Is one of them.
Yeah, that's definitely
that was
one of them.
Not good.
All right, we got to get to break. 4 o'clock hour on the way. Gwen versus the fans, or are we doing Chris versus the fans?
We'll do Chris versus the
Chris
fans.
Chris versus the
here.
Fans. 833-288-0973. Get your call in.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.